synagogue vigil after deadly gunfire.
A miracle that the gun jammed.
Arrest made in Tennessee killing spree.
I don't know what his motive was or why he picked those people.
Tracking your every move.
That you were able to get so much data is quite disturbing.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kaif, and in a tweet this morning, President Trump pays tribute to the rabbi of a synagogue outside San Diego, where on the last day of Passover, a gunman opened fire, killing one woman and injuring three other people. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
The pain and sorrow were on full display here last night. Hundreds attended a candlelight vigil. Most were Jewish, but not all. We found this Muslim man.
We have to be there for our other neighbors, regardless of their religious beliefs.
Among those attending, 8-year-old Noya Dahan.
She was wounded yesterday, and today she's here with us.
Right now I feel very happy.
Another of those wounded, the rabbi Yisrael Goldstein, talked yesterday for the first time about the moment he faced death.
Here is a young man standing with a rifle, pointing right at me.
The rabbi was hit in the hand. He lost a finger. Then came what he called a miracle.
Miraculously, the gun jammed.
He also talked about the one person killed, 60-year-old Lori Kay.
Lori took the bullet for all of us. She didn't deserve to die.
Then there is one of the heroes, Oscar Stewart, an Iraq War veteran and member of the congregation who was at the temple and confronted the shooter.
I'm glad that I was there, and I would do it again if I had. Without a doubt.
And by doing that, he helped stop the shooting. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Poway, California.
The suspect is a 19-year-old man. Police say he's also being investigated in connection with a mosque fire a month ago. An arrest has been made in rural northern Tennessee, where the bodies of seven people were found in two homes. Brittany Ramos lives nearby.
You think out here you're safe. You feel a sense of security.
Police shot and wounded the 25-year-old suspect in the case. It's not clear whether he knew any of the victims. Officials in Seattle say there will be a thorough investigation to determine what caused a construction crane to collapse on Saturday, killing four people and injuring four others on a busy street. CBS's Janet Shamlian has more.
Seattle has around 60 active cranes, more than any other U.S. city, and roughly double the number in Portland or Chicago.
We're really at the beginning of an investigation that will likely take months.
Tim Church is with the Washington Department of Labor. He promised to learn the cause so it won't happen again.
No one should ever have to go to work and not come home from their job.
It all turned out okay in a cave in southwestern Virginia where five men were trapped. CBS's Errol Barnett.
We've got a rock here that we're going to go over.
More than three dozen emergency workers from four states helped bring the men to safety. Rescue took more than 14 hours after first responders arrived.
Don't de-rig yet until we get everybody out.
Search and rescue coordinator Michael Maggard says the type of cave the men were trapped inside is defined as wild, or one that only experienced divers should explore.
They basically got in, got fatigued and cold. It's really wet, muddy, and slippery, and they couldn't get back out.
Well, there are threats of a subpoena if Attorney General William Barr refuses to testify before the House Judiciary Committee later on this week. CBS's Weijia Jiang says there's a dispute over the manner of questioning.
The panel plans to allow lawyers from both sides to question Barr. The Department of Justice holds the position that only members of Congress should do the probing. The committee also wants to go into a closed session if members want to talk about redacted portions of the report, which the DOJ opposes.
Former Vice President Joe Biden, who got into the presidential race last week, goes to Pittsburgh today for his first campaign rally. Pennsylvania figures to be a key 2020 battleground. Boeing's CEO is about to face shareholders for the first time since the second deadly crash of a 737 MAX jetliner. And CBS's Chris Van Cleve says it comes as regulators and Congress look into information from whistleblowers.
Within hours of Ethiopian investigators releasing their preliminary report into the crash of Flight 302, the FAA received calls from four potential whistleblowers. The current and former Boeing employees were concerned about potential safety issues surrounding the 737 MAX and its approval process. One of the April 5th calls included claims of foreign object damage to the wiring of the plane's angle of attack sensor. Boeing says while it cannot verify that report, safety and quality are at the core of Boeing's values.
Well, the commander of the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, has been fired for what a military statement calls a loss of confidence in his ability to command. Navy Rear Admiral John Ring had been in charge for the past year. This morning, we take a look at how advertisers track our location through our phones and how crooks can exploit that. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
That is a big house.
CBS News correspondent Tony DeCopel and criminologist Adam Scott Wandt cruising through mega-rich Greenwich, Connecticut, whose wealthy residents spend a packet burglar-proofing their mansions, all while apps inside their phones are selling their location data to, well, anyone.
At some of these larger homes, we could even track as people moved from room to room.
The data's supposed to be anonymous, but DeCopel found it was easy to zero in on individuals. Yet when he asked to interview one such resident...
Why would I care?
Why would I care, he said.
I don't think I want to do it. I'm not worried about it.
Criminologists want on why he and we should care.
If you're able to monitor your target, your mark, and you're able to tell when they're driving, when they're not, perhaps when they're having an affair with their mistress, it becomes much easier to take advantage of them and extort.
And the practice is perfectly legal. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Hours after cornerback Corey Ballantyne was the sixth-round draft pick of the NFL's New York Giants, he was shot and wounded in Topeka, Kansas, and a 23-year-old college teammate at Washburn University was killed by gunfire near an off-campus party. Police are investigating. At the movies, Avengers Endgame shattered the record for an opening weekend.
We owe this to everyone who's not in this room.
Taking in $1.2 billion in global ticket sales, $350 million domestically. Ads remind us to drink responsibly. Now there's a call for responsibility on the other side of the bar.
South Carolina lawmakers are considering legislation requiring bartenders and servers in the state to go through a training course to, quote, serve responsibly. Paul Pavlich manages a craft brewery in Charleston.
I think that it would standardize the bar industry, make everybody perform on a certain level.
Under the measure, a bartender or waiter or waitress who serves alcohol to someone who is obviously drunk can be fined up to $350. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
In New Hampshire, a 43-year-old man will plead guilty to bigamy today, and he faces more than 3 years in prison. Michael Middleton, who faces charges in other states, is accused of marrying four women in four separate states beginning in 2006. Prosecutors say he stole thousands of dollars from the women. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.